This is Writing Lessons, and I'm your host, Silas House. On each episode of Writing Lessons, we talk about a different topic of creative writing. On this episode, we're discussing short stories. Our guest today is Jane Moore Waldrop, author of the 2021 collection of link stories called Drowned Town. She is also author of two children's picture books, with one more on the way. After many years of practicing law in Louisville, she moved to Lexington and committed herself to becoming a fiction writer instead of writing legal briefs. She's a graduate of UK for undergrad and law school and Murray State's MFA in fiction. Jane is currently working on a new book of fiction. Jane, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Silas. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
What's the most foundational device of creating fiction for you? Would it be characterization or plot or something else?
Well, I think characterization is really important because when I read, as a reader, the characters are so important to me. That's what leads me into a book as a reader. And I think it's the same as a writer. This character comes to a writer, comes to me, and almost becomes like an imaginary friend mm-hmm. as I explore that person, that character, and whatever is going to happen to them in the story. I think plot, because I'm not as much of a plot writer. I like characterization. But probably the most important thing as a story is really coming together is place.
Yes.
To me, certain places trigger me sitting down at my desk to write a story because of whatever has inspired me at a certain place. So I think whenever I have visited places, locations, it seems to be, if I feel this connection, that is a big part of the inspiration for a story that may come from that.
Yeah, I don't think enough people lead with place. And in fact, sometimes, often it feels like a story is happening in a vacuum. Yes. And that really makes me crave more sense of place.
Yes. And then when I think back to my favorite short story collections, mm-hmm. place is so important in those. Mm-hmm. You know, and for me, as a writer who grew up in Western Kentucky, not many stories or novels were written about Western Kentucky, mm-hmm. have been written, until Bobby Ann Mason and her short story collection, Shiloh and Other Stories, mm-hmm. Really made a huge difference in not only what I like to read, that it was recognizable to me, that the locations and the sense of place there is so strong. But as a writer, it also gave me permission to write about things that I am familiar with. It doesn't have to be an exotic location.
Exactly.
And I think that was really important when Bobby Ann led us to mm-hmm. that in the early 1980s. That was a big change, I think.
Yeah, TV and the movies leads us to believe that stories are only important if they happen in New York City or Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
And so literature has corrected that in a big way, but still not enough.
Still not enough, but there are, you know, there are more examples than when I was, you know, a college student reading Winesburg, Ohio, or, you know, places really mm-hmm. important in those, you know, classic short story collections. Yeah. But it really made a big difference when I started recognizing places that I knew and characters mm-hmm. that I might know, and the details of their lives mm-hmm. were so recognizable. That was monumental for me as
me too.
Writer and as an aspiring fiction writer.
Me too.
And then, you know, Crystal Wilkinson's story collections, and they're just more opportunities with beautiful writing that explores things that we take as familiar and but are yet so unique.
Right.
That I love the way they give that to us as writers.
I have gotten ideas for fiction from news stories, from family yes. stories, from eavesdropping on people at a restaurant. I mean, I never know where a story is going to come from. What are some ways that you find the seeds for stories?
Again, I think certain locations seem to trigger inspiration. Conversations are important. I love to look at old photographs, particularly of places that either no longer exist or exist in such a different form. It's part of the research of looking at an area through its history.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I can say about Western Kentucky is that the landscape is very different than it once was because of lots of change with constructions of lakes and flooding of towns and taking of communities for national recreation areas or national parks. So those historical photographs, I think, are really important to help set a mood from which stories can come.
For sure. Well, your sentences are so beautiful, but they never feel fussy to me. They never draw attention to themselves, you know? So is a sentence a real organic thing for you, or do you do a lot of pruning and polishing or a combination of all that?
Well, a combination, I think, for sure. Thank you for that. I appreciate you saying that, because I think your writing is so beautiful. So when I write, I try to start early in the day. I like to write as fresh as possible without getting bogged down with reading other stuff, without hearing the news.
Email.
I really like to write fiction from this place. There's a great fiction handbook called Writing from Where You Dream, I think.
I don't know that.
And it's a wonderful book that sort of helps you think about sitting down at your desk fresh and stepping into the shoes of your characters fresh, you know. And I think that's been a really good lesson for me. So when I'm doing a draft of a story, when I have been writing and try to write as much as I can, sort of without constraint, I know where the story may be going. I know the character as I'm developing it. But I think revision is the important way to, it's a sort of a left brain, right brain kind of exercise to me. There's the creative side to it. And then when you get that part done, you have to get more to the analytical, the editing, the other side of your brain that does, you know, the sort of the business side of writing, not just the creative aspect. So that, you know, I think it takes both a melding of those two instincts, the creative instinct and then the more skilled editing instinct. I think both are necessary.
You have written in just about every discipline, poetry, children's books, nonfiction, obviously fiction. So what's the hardest thing about fiction?
To me, it's to make those characters real. You know, because the characters, especially in a short story where you don't have a lot of words. You can't go on and on. You need to make these people, these characters, feel real. And that a reader can identify that these characters could exist, mm-hmm. do exist. So I think that's really important, and that's what takes so much time. You really need to know your characters, yep. and do exercises, writing exercises, mm-hmm. that explore what would this character do if this happened? Not so much about the plot, but just to know that person, to know their tendencies,
yep.
To know their habits, so that I just think it makes for a better fleshed out character.
Yeah. And the writer has to know more than ever shows up on the page, too.
Yes. And there's some wonderful writing exercises that you can do like that, mm-hmm. to, you know, what would be their favorite music, even though that song is never going to be mentioned in there, or could be, but, or something, you know, what did their childhood bedroom look like? And how does that impact someone as an adult? You know, just getting to know those characters. Mm-hmm. And I think that takes time.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily, doesn't look productive, mm-hmm. because your word count may not grow that day, but you're learning who these characters are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important part of writing.
Yeah, that's a really important writing lesson, I think, is that sometimes writing doesn't look like writing. Sometimes writing is walking in the woods.
Right.
Sometimes it's eavesdropping.
Right.
You know, I think for me, the biggest part of writing is when I'm not at my laptop.
Right.
I need to formulate all that to come to the laptop so that I'm not staring at a blank page. And don't you think that a lot of, especially young writers, will say, well, I just can't get right, I can't get started. And so I think when you think you can't get started, it's because you haven't done enough prep before you sit down to put words on the page.
Right, right. Well, I think that there's so much pressure to get so many words written a day, or you feel like mm-hmm. you're not being a real writer. But I do think those moments of life mm-hmm. and just really curiosity mm-hmm. and discovery will show up in the writing when you sit down to your computer or if you write in longhand. I'm a computer writer.
Me too. Would you say that every minute of the day you're living as a writer, no matter what the situation is, there's material that you may find, right?
Yes.
Or do you turn it off ever?
Well, I'm not sure I ever turn off how I notice details and how I notice the way things look or the way things feel or the way the wind sounds. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you ever turn that off completely.
Yeah.
I'm not taking notes or anything unless something really is important mm-hmm. and I'm afraid I'll forget it. But I think noticing those details of the world is probably the first important job in becoming a writer.
Absolutely.
To try to capture a landscape in words, to capture the feel of a kitchen when a meal is being prepared. All of those things are noticing those details. Mm-hmm. And stories, even though you do have a limited word count, you need to capture those details in order to place the character in a situation. And it's those details, just little physical details about the way someone looks. Doesn't have to take up a lot of paragraph space, mm-hmm. but just some key words and very distilled descriptions.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, and that comes from noticing and...
Yes.
In your mind, documenting these details.
Yeah. So your first book of fiction couldn't be read. You can read each story individually, sort of skip around if you want to,
mm-hmm.
or you can read it straight through like a novel. So it sort of is a book of short stories, but it can also be a novel. So we tend to call that linked stories.
Right.
So just why do you like that form?
I like that form because I like writing stories. Mm-hmm. I think you can capture the bigger picture, though, in a collection of stories by somehow connecting them into one larger story. Yes. Does that make any sense? I think that by a definition, a short story has a form, has a structure, and it's usually a very internal kind of story, usually a limited cast of characters. And it's important to, I think, in short story writing, to distill that story as much as possible. But if you want to tell a bigger story and develop the characters who may be attached to your primary character, link stories provide that long narrative. You know, I love novels, but I also like to write in short story form. So, for example, a book that really changed my own writing is Olive Kittredge.
Yes.
And it was
Elizabeth Strout.
And to me, the form that Elizabeth Strout used in that book gives you these very close relationships with many characters. Mm-hmm. And you get to know so many of the people, not just Olive Kittredge, the character, but all of the people around her. The town is, again, place and location is so important, because I'm not sure that book could be set anywhere else other than this town in Maine. So I like that form because you can go back and forth in time. You're not restricted to one sort of linear sequence or chronology. And that was one of the reasons I chose the form for Drown Town, just because I could bring in voices from the past. I could bring in different forms of loss. Mm-hmm. So it was a way of enlarging the story.
Right.
And I think that's, I just read a book, a link story collection called The History of Sound.
Oh, I love that book.
I did too. And
it's brilliant.
To me, it is really brilliant the way it's structured.
Yeah. And it's by Ben Shattuck.
Yeah. It's so uniquely structured. Mm-hmm. And I found it just completely enthralling.
Me too.
And it was a time, you know, it was not chronological. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're in the 1600s, sometimes you're in right now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's creative, so creative.
Very creative.
Well, you said several things in that I think are great writing lessons on, particularly how to write a short story. One thing, it's a limited cast of characters.
Yes.
And that's much different than a novel where you can have, 30 characters because you have this big canvas. Well, in a short story, you have a smaller canvas, so you mm-hmm. need fewer characters. Are there other, I don't want to say rules, but sort of markers that you go by for a short story?
Even from, say, a high school writing class, high school English class, mm-hmm. you learn the structure of short stories. Mm-hmm. And so many times people have their first writing experiences as a high schooler or as a middle schooler with short stories. And there are formulas, conflict, crisis, resolution. Right. There are structures and the epiphany moment. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite short stories are ones where those structural issues are a little more invisible mm-hmm. than boom.
Right.
Someone had an epiphany.
Yeah.
And so I think the structure is important, but it doesn't have to be controlling and obvious.
Yes.
Because I think organically, epiphanies don't just come out of nowhere. It has to come through the story.
Yeah.
and the resolutions. And also, I don't think it can be just wrapped up neatly, like with a bow at the end that, oh, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I think the reader deserves a little more flexibility to figure that out themselves.
It was important to me as a writer when a writing teacher eventually told me that an ending could be ambiguous. Because I think that, like, we're raised on fairy tales and those sorts of things that are all wrapped up in a neat little bow.
Right.
And so we tend to want to do that. But you think more about a story if you read it and it's not all wrapped up. There's some ambiguity, right?
Right.
So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Better for discussion, too. You know, that a reader can take it in several directions.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there needs to be some, you know, solidity there.
Ambiguity without confusion.
Yes.
And ambiguity without a sense of just like, sometimes it might just feel like, well, the writer just didn't know how to end it.
Right.
And that's
just
not
stop.
Good.
Exactly. You don't want to put the bow on it because that's too complete an ending. But you also need to know where to end it. So as a writer, that's always an issue. Have I really gotten to the place where this story needs to end?
That's the other thing I think about short stories is with a novel, I'm thinking of a pretty grand theme, a pretty big abstract notion or theme. And I think with short stories, I'm thinking smaller themes.
Yes.
Or more intimate themes or something like that.
Right.
You know?
And a lot of internal type themes and discovery. I think that's one of the beauties of short stories is that even though it is a short piece, you get to know a couple of characters really well.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, one character. You may know that character very well. And I think that I do love that intimacy of stories.
Do you have any short fiction prompts you can briefly share with our listeners?
One of the prompts that I have used in writing workshops before is to describe your growing up or childhood bedroom. Because, you know, you may have shared it with siblings. You may have had your own room. You may have, I want you to describe the things that you chose to put on your wall. And even though it sounds like a nonfiction or memoir type piece, I think that you can get some ideas for your fiction writing, too, because you can describe this place in such detail because you are mining your own memories, and you can pull a lot of really interesting period pieces out of it, and the way, you know, my bedroom and 1968 or whatever is going to look and is going to fit into something that I'm going to write from that era or a 1997 memory is going to look different. So I think that's I think it's a good prompt to think about details too and to think about place, this place that you know so intimately.
Right.
You could also write about it, not just from childhood, but any time in your life, you know, a room that was important to you.
Yes.
Because I think it's or the yard that was important to you growing up. I think that's also important in establishing place. And I think that's always a good exercise.
Yeah. A writing prompt I often use is I have writers make a blueprint of a house that is most important to them. And then in each room, they come up with three things that happen. And then out of all that, they pick one and write a story about it.
Oh,
so,
that's great.
Yeah. Writing prompts and exercises, I think, are really beneficial, especially to beginning writers.
Yes.
And I encourage people to use them.
Or any writer who's stuck.
Yes.
You know.
I use them. I've been writing 40 years, and I use them all the time.
Well, I'm finding it's an important topic for me right now because my last three books have been children's picture books, which I'm shifting gears to get back to a longer fiction piece that I'm working on. And I'm using prompts because writing for children is so different. You have so few words to work with on a picture book because the illustrations are so important. So I'm sort of going back to the prompts and the exercises myself as I get back into a longer piece of adult fiction.
So last question, Jane. What's the best writing lesson you've ever learned?
I think one of the best writing lessons I ever, or descriptions of writing that meant something to me is after you've written like a first draft and you're in the revision process, to go back and look for any sensual details that you can add in. And I'm talking about the senses of sight and smell and touch, music, you know, hearing, all of those to really enrich the writing. And I think it takes going back through your draft many, many times to really add in those details, because those are the details that make any fiction feel real. You can use the same process in going back through in revision to look for words that don't seem to fit.
Right.
Because it's that word that didn't fit that's going to pull you out of that dream of fiction to me as a reader.
Yes.
So you look to add in details that are going to make the characters and the place feel more genuine and fleshed out. And you also look for words that, you know, don't fit the strumming along of the story and that wake you up from, wake the reader up from the dream of the story. Because that's, you know, stories are imagination. You know, and we've imagined them. But if you have things that are misplaced or out of whack, you're pulled out completely.
I love the way you think of that as a dream that the reader is experiencing. Thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you for being with me today.
My pleasure.
Writing Lessons is an initiative of the 2024-2025 Kentucky Poet Laureate. That's me, Silas House. I'm thankful for the support of the Kentucky Arts Council, the Carnegie Center for Literacy and Learning, the Office of Governor Andy Beshear, and Kentucky Humanities. This show is written, recorded, edited, and produced by me. I hope you will share the show with other writers, students, or anyone who is interested in the creative process. Please subscribe to our show, and if you like it, I hope you'll leave a review or a 5-star rating. That'll help us get the show to more listeners. Thanks so much for listening to Writing Lessons.